Let's take our Bibles and turn to Revelation 22, the very last chapter in your Bible. The last chapter of the Bible. And I want to read you a few verses, and then you'll see what I'm going to preach on this morning. Revelation 22. Any of you get in on that tornado that went through town the other day? Some of you did. You know those big tall locust trees out where you come down Lucaball? Is that Lucaball? Lucaball Mill Road? Is that where the mission is? Yeah, those big beautiful locust trees, well, they're not beautiful anymore. Man, it got a hold of them. Yeah, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. But anyway, thank the Lord nobody was injured that I heard of. So we thank the Lord for that. All right, have you found it? All right, look at me for just a moment. I want you to realize that we did not have a meeting this week where I said, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, I'm going to preach on verse 4, where it says, and they shall see his face. All right? We didn't have a meeting where I said that. Matter of fact, we didn't have a meeting at all on it. And yet, all the music this morning is geared toward that verse, and they shall see his face. Now, if that happens, and it did today, and it did last Sunday morning as well, and when that happens, that's pretty good indication that the Lord has something for us today. So you need to listen, all right? In the early service, Pastor Brian said, do you mind if I take a nap this during this sermon? During this service, and I said, no, go ahead. Everybody else does, so go ahead. And I said, no, go ahead. Everybody else does. And my preaching seems to have that effect on people. I've noticed that for about, 42, 43 years now. But nonetheless, stay awake, because with what the Lord has done this morning, evidently we're supposed to get something today. All right, verse 1, it says, and he showed me a pure river of life, clear at 22. All right, verse 1. A clear as crystal proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. Now, do you think that a Snickers bar could be considered a fruit? No. No? I wish it was, I tell you. Wouldn't it be great, Snickers bars once a month? Growing on the tree. Verse 3. No, it's not. No, it's not. Verse 3. And there shall be no more curse. Amen. But the throne of God and his servants shall serve him. And they, his servants, shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of this, or of the prophecy of this book. All right, I want you to look back at verse 4, and I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, and they shall see his face. All right, let's pray together and in the message. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Word of God, for this passage that I read this morning. We have so much to look forward to as believers. So much to look forward to. What a day, glorious day it's going to be when we step inside that new Jerusalem, the new heaven and the new earth, and the curse is gone, and there's no more sin, there's no more death, no more suffering, no more hindrances. Father, we're just looking forward to that day. And so as we think of that day this morning, and concentrate on this little phrase, and they shall see his face, I pray that you will bless the message in a great way. Use it for your glory and for our benefit. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. What the Apostle John is describing here in this 22nd chapter is the New Jerusalem that will be created by the Lord Jesus after the millennium and after the great white throne judgment. And when this world that we live in now, that this world, when this world has been burned up and has melted away. And we read that God, the Lord Jesus, the Creator, the Lord Jesus is going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Now, in chapter 20, we read where the dead, small and great, stand before the Lord. And when they stand before the Lord, the Bible says, and the books were opened. Now, I personally think that the books are the 66 books that make up this Bible. That's my personal opinion. Now, I know opinions are like noses and everybody has one, but that's my opinion. I think that the Word of God is what is going to judge us. And then it says that the books were opened, so I think that's these books. And then it says, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, that Lamb's book of life, as we call it, has the name of all the redeemed in it. Every person who has ever trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior has their name written in that book. And so the Lord is going to open these books, and then he's going to open the Lamb's book of life that is in heaven. And if your name is not in that book, he will know that you did not follow this book that told you to be saved and trust Jesus as your Savior. And therefore, he will say to you, depart from me, I never knew you. And at that time, all the unsaved will be cast into the lake of fire, where they will pay their sin debt for all of eternity. Now, a few years ago, look at verse 3 carefully, please. A few years ago, I preached on the phrase at the end of verse 3 that says, and his servants shall serve him. And in the last part, I looked it up to see what I had said a couple of years ago about that little phrase. And in the last part of that sermon, I discussed with you several reasons why we are sometimes hindered from serving the Lord Jesus now, right now in this life. It says here that on this day, when we begin eternity, now get that in your mind, what he's referring to here. And on this day, when we start eternity, we are told that his servants, and that's us, that's the redeemed, and his servants shall serve him. Now, right now, I said in that sermon that there are some things that hinder us from serving the Lord Jesus now. And I said in that sermon, one of the reasons or one of the things that I gave you, I said at the end of the sermon, we are hindered many times by the frailty of our bodies. You see, we're under a curse. That's why we get old, and that's why we get diseased, and that's why we get sick, and that's why eventually we die. It's because we are under a curse. It is called the curse of sin. And you know the Bible teaches clearly that the wages of sin is death. And so ultimately, that's what's coming for each and every one of us. But I said, one of the reasons that we have trouble now serving the Lord is because of the frailty of our bodies. Do you remember the words of the Lord Jesus when he spoke to his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he rebuked them for falling asleep while he was praying? And he said to the disciples, "The spirit indeed is willing, but the what? Flesh is what? Weak." Exactly. "The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And are there not many of us sitting right here this morning who would do anything not to be hindered from serving the Lord because of some weakness of our flesh? Now, for some folks, growing older has limited and it has hindered what we can do for the Lord. Some people, it's their flesh that limits them. Every time that I speak on the subject of drinking alcohol, I get, oh man, people get mad. People get mad. I get letters. I get messages left on my phone. You just would not believe. I get emails. You would not believe it. I mean, that rattles a lot of cages. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Alcohol is a sin against God. Now, you can slice it any way you want to slice it, but let me prove it to you right here real quick. There are some folks sitting right here this morning, and you don't hit a lick for God. And the reason you don't is because you're mad at me or you're upset at me because I say that you should not drink alcohol. I say you shouldn't drink wine, and I say you shouldn't drink beer, and I say you shouldn't drink liquor. You just shouldn't drink. And deep down inside, you know that I'm telling you the truth. You say, well, as long as you don't get drunk. No, no, no. That's an excuse that you are making so that you can say in your flesh, it's okay for you to drink. And I'm saying it's not okay for you to drink. And the reason that I know it's not okay for you to drink is because you're drinking and you don't do anything for the Lord. That lust of the flesh that you have for alcohol is hindering you from doing what God wants you to do. And so is your cigarettes. And so is your internet. There are folks that don't come back to church on Sunday night because they're home watching YouTube videos. Shame on us. Folks, I'm telling you, we need to realize that we're hindered right now. There are some things that hinder us. I don't know what hinders you, but I know there are things that hinder us, because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit has quickened your spirit, given life to it, and that Holy Spirit tells your spirit that you ought to be serving the Lord. But you don't do it. Why? Well, because you'd rather smoke cigarettes than serve the Lord. Why? Because you'd rather listen to your worldly sick music than serve the Lord. You'd rather drink your beer than serve the Lord. Now, you can get mad at me all you want, but you know that I'm telling you the truth. All right, four of you said amen, but all y'all ought to say it. Amen. You say, I don't agree with that. Well, get your own church and you can preach your doctrine, all right? Amen. But I'm telling you, folks, this is real. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then there are some folks who just simply growing older has limited and has hindered what you can do for the Lord. Disease, arthritis, diabetes, heart condition, bad knees, bad wrists, bad fingers, bad shoulder, bad head. I mean, just name it. You get old, you get bad, don't you? Sure. And there are a lot of us that are sitting right here, and we can't do for the Lord what we used to do because of the frailty of our bodies. I remember speaking with one of our dear ladies several years ago, and she was confined to an assisted living home and unable to get out, unable to come to church. And it was her birthday, and I went over to visit her on a Tuesday night. And she was in the assisted living home. And so when I went in, she looked at me and she said, "Oh, Pastor, I miss the church. Oh, how I miss serving the Lord." She said, "I miss teaching my Sunday school class, and I miss singing In the Living Cross." But she said, "In my condition, I just can't do it any longer. I just can't do it any longer." And we have a lot of folks in our church who would love to be able to just turn the clock back a little bit and have the ability once again to serve the Lord Jesus. So I guess the thing to do is to serve the Lord right now while you can. Serve the Lord now while you have the health to do so. Because I guarantee you, folks, that one of these days, if the Lord tarries, you're going to be sitting in a wheelchair or sitting in a bed in an assisted living home somewhere, and you're going to say, "I sure wish that I could go do what I used to do at the church." So do it now, folks. Don't wait until frailty attacks your body and you don't have the strength to serve the Lord. You see, the Lord knows that we have these things that are hindering us right now. Don't forget, God knoweth our frame, and He remembers that we are dust. Now, in verse 5, look at verse 5. We read that there is coming a day when there will be nothing to hinder us from serving our wonderful Savior. We won't have to sleep anymore. I'm glad for that, aren't you? I don't like sleeping. I fight going to bed and I fight getting up. You know, every morning, you know, these people that bounce out of bed, not me. I resurrect from the dead every morning. Seriously. I don't want to get up. Oh, mercy. It's all I can do to get up. But I do it. I do it because I have to. But I just don't like getting up. But the day is coming when sleep is not going to be necessary. You look here in verse 5. When we get to eternity, there's no more night. There's no more night. And God graciously gave us night because he knew that we had to sleep. And so he graciously gave us the night so we could sleep. All right, now, there will be no more night. When we get to this day, what I'm saying is all the constrictions of time will have vanished. And when all that's gone, then, verse 3, his servants shall serve him. Now, notice that after John says, his servants shall serve him, he follows up with the statement, and they shall see his face, in verse 4. Now, I want us to think about that phrase this morning. I want us to just take it a step further than his servants shall serve him, because if you see verse 4, it says, and those servants shall see his face. His servants shall see his face. Now, I want to put these two phrases together by the suggestion that the redeemed, the glorified saints of God who are standing here before the Lord in the new heaven and the new earth are going to continually serve. And because of our serving, we will continually see. All right, now look at your Bible. Verse 3, last part. And his servant shall, what's the next word? Serve him, right. And they shall, verse 4, what? See his face. All right, so I want to put these two phrases together and show you that because of our serving, we will continually see. Right now, we don't continually see. Right now, there are things that hinder us. Right now, we've got the devil down here, and we've got that curse that is on us, and we don't continually see. How many times do we find our hearts getting away from the Lord? And then the next thing you know, we're not in church and we give up our class and give up our bus or whatever the case may be. And what happens? Well, something has hindered us. Something has gotten in our way. And so let's take this phrase, and they, and that they is all of us who know the Lord, they shall see his face. All right, the first thing, I only got two things, but the first thing is this. There is a deep sense in which we see through serving. There is a deep sense in which we see through serving. You see, serving the Lord is one of heaven's eye salves that enables us to see. I remember years ago when the girls were little, one of them got the pink eye, and so she was sitting at the house, and she was digging in her eye with her finger, and I said, "You got something in your eye?" She said, "Yes." I said, "I think it's your finger." She didn't laugh either, but anyway, I said, "Let me see," and so I went over and I said, "Oh, honey, you got the pink eye." And she said, "What's that?" And I said, "It's where you get a little infection in there and it itches." And she said, "Yeah, it's itching. It's driving me crazy." So we had to take her to the doctor back in those days. All right. You didn't go to the pharmacy and get an over-the-counter pink eye medication. You had to get it a prescription. So we had to run to the doctor, had to get the doctor to give us a script so we could get the medication. And when I got that medication, I looked down at it, and it said, "The greatest eye salve in the world." greatest I have in the world. And I thought, wow, that's a little bold, isn't it? But I'm saying that there is a deep sense in which we see through serving. And when I put that salve on her eye in just a couple of applications, the eye cleared right up. Well, folks, listen, serving the Lord is one of the greatest eye salves that will enable you to see. Just serving the Lord opens your eyes so you can see the Lord. Now, let me illustrate. A mother sees more in her child than anybody else sees. How many times has somebody said to mom something that was done by her son, and the dad's sitting there going, well, bring him in here. I'll straighten him out. But mom's sitting there shaking her head, and she goes, oh, no, my little boy wouldn't do that. My little boy wouldn't say that. You see, she knows his character. Why does she know? Because of the long, loving, patient service of her motherhood. A mother sees things in her child that nobody else can see. So without a doubt, the best way to see Christ here in this life is to serve him. Because you see, when we get up to heaven, we're going to serve him according to verse 3. His servant shall serve him, and they shall see his face. So if the reason that we're going to serve him throughout eternity is because we see his face, don't you think that we ought to try to see him now? And if we see him now, then we'll be serving him better. You see, if any man will do, then he shall know. I mean, to take up your cross and to help one of the least of these, as Jesus said, is the open secret of fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And John hints that in eternity, our service, which will be perfected at last, is going to be performed with 20/20 vision. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day, aren't you? John says, the glorified, the redeemed shall serve, and they shall see. They shall serve, and they shall see. They will be able to see because they serve. Their vision will be perfect vision, because in heaven, our service will be perfect service. How often now does the frailty of our bodies or some part of our flesh that we battle dims for us here our vision of the Lord? Well, I'm telling you, it happens a lot. We are constantly fighting the frailty of our bodies. But when we get to this day, and when we begin eternity, our old sin nature is gone, and those things which hinder us now are gone, and we will be able to serve the Lord unhindered, and we in serving will see his face. Then notice another thing. In eternity, now my point is, there is a deep sense in which we see through serving. All right? And the second thing I want you to notice here about this is, in eternity, the life of serving, the life of serving and seeing becomes one matter. They are united together. They're the same thing. You serve and you see. They're the same thing. Down here right now, we so often find ourselves in conflict with serving and seeing. Our world today is so much like the home of Mary and Martha that we read about in the Gospel of Luke. So much like that. We see Martha so busy, so actively serving, that it has her frustrated and irritated with everyone around her. And then there was Mary. Remember, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and she was listening and learning and was so contemplative. I mean, she would not budge from just wanting to hear what the Master had to say. And I think that life today is like that for all of us. I mean, down here, we can get so busy serving that we don't sit and see. And that's true. All right, in this earth, we find ourselves so busy with 1,000 different tasks, and we have so many meetings that we fail to meet with Him. Or we can be so busy with serving, we don't take time to see. Or sometimes we can be all about seeing and we don't take time to serve. But John tells us that the day is coming when serving and seeing will be one. In verse 3, his servants shall serve him. Verse 4, and they shall see his face. You see, once we begin eternity, the one will never make the other more difficult like it does down here right now. I have so many times said that what we ought to be striving for in our Christian life is balance. Amen. You know, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus in John 1 was full of grace and that he was full of truth. Now, how can you be full of grace and truth? You see, if you get the grace, if we get the grace, we normally forget the truth. If we get the truth, then we normally forget the grace. You know, we'll say, let me say it this way. Paul said that the Jews had knowledge, but not according to zeal. Knowledge, but zeal. Two opposite ends. How do you get a balance of that? All right, have you ever known an evangelist who could read or write? You know, they got the fire, they got the zeal, but where is the knowledge? I'm not going to tell y'all who did this. I'm not going to tell you all who did this. But there was an evangelist. This was many years ago. There was an evangelist that I had in the church. And not this church, when I was in West Virginia. And this evangelist said, "Can I talk to you a minute?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Would you explain to me what this means?" And I said, what means? He said, "This verse right here." And I looked at him and I said, "Did you go to school?" He said, "Well, yeah, I went to school." I said, "You went to school and you don't know what that verse means?" He said, "Well, no." Now I'm telling you, this guy had the fire. He could preach up a storm, but he just didn't have the knowledge. And I said, "Wow, that's just like what Paul said. They had zeal, but not according to knowledge." And what you and I need is to find that balance. We need to have the fire, the zeal, but we also need to know a little something so that when we have the fire, we're saying something that's going to make a difference in somebody's life. So in heaven, in eternity, the toiling Martha will never begrudge the seeing Mary. The glorified saints of God will finally give themselves unencumbered to the services of the Lord, yet not even for 1 minute will they lose their vision of our Lord's glorious face. We will serve and we will see. And at last, on that day, and for all eternity, serving and seeing will be one matter. Are you following me all right on this? Does it make sense to you? All right, second thing I want you to see. I want you to see, secondly, there are certain implications of these words that we need to always remember. There are some implications to what I've said to you that we need to always remember. Now, don't forget that when we begin eternity, his servants shall serve him and they shall see his face. I almost wish that they had not put a verse 4 right there, just made all this one verse, because we have a tendency to separate them. But notice there's a colon after the word him in verse 3, so it's really all one sentence. We shall serve and we shall see. Right now, it's sad, but there are a lot of things that hinder us from serving. But when we get to heaven, we're going to see some implications as a result of what John says. One thing is that to see his face will bring the assurance of the full and free forgiveness of sin. I don't know how many people through the years have said, Pastor, did God really forgive all my sin? And I'll say, yes. Wow. Boy, I'm just having a hard time with that. I say, really? Yeah. I'm just struggling with that. And they go through, I know folks that have gone through their whole Christian life and they have questioned whether they were completely forgiven of all their sin. How many times do you ask somebody, if you were to die today, do you know you'd go to heaven? And they look at you and say, well, I sure hope so. I sure hope so. All right, now let me illustrate this. It's a well-known fact that in the Middle Eastern world, going as far back as Grecian times and right on through the Roman period, it is a well-known fact that there was a custom throughout that whole region that no convicted criminal could ever see the king. You could not see, if you were a convict, if you were convicted, you could not see the face of the king. If a man was guilty of a crime and condemned, it was never granted to him that he should see the king's face. Now, folks, when John wrote this in verse 3, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. John, no doubt, knew this, and no doubt when he wrote this, a big old smile came over his face. And they shall see his face. Can you imagine a fella who was completely aware of this ancient concept, and he sits down to read the book of the Revelation, and he gets all the way through to the last chapter, and then he reads about what life in the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem will be like. And he reads in verse 4, and they shall see his face. And when John said that, he means that just like that criminal back in those days, seeing, we shall know that we have been, when we see him, completely and fully forgiven of our sin. When we see his face, the face of the King of Kings, we will know that the King has thoroughly examined us and has found us not guilty. My sin, all the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And there's a second application. A second application is that in eternity, we will find perfect satisfaction. You know, the other night at the State of the Union address, when President Trump introduced that lady with the two small children and had her stand, and then told her that when he was done, that he had another surprise for her, and then he introduced her husband, who had been doing his second tour of duty in Afghanistan. And when President Trump announced that he was home and that he was there, that the door opened and that man walked in. And when that woman turned around and saw the husband that she loved with all of her heart, she began to weep, and there was not a dry eye anywhere. Well, at least among the Republicans. There was not a dry eye anywhere. Oh, what joy it brings to the heart when we see the face of someone we love. You see, folks, there is nothing like seeing the face of a loved one. I've told you this before, but when I was in college, my senior year once removed, I was in Greenville, South Carolina, and Karen was in St. Albans, West Virginia. And my dorm room looked like a shrine to Karen Singleton. I had her picture everywhere. I had her picture. I had pictures of her on my desk. I had pictures stuck to the wall. I had pictures beside the mirror where I shaved every morning. Well, not every morning. I didn't have too much of a beard at that time. But the day came when my mom called and she said, hey, we're coming down to see you boys next weekend. And I said, all right, good. I said, Mom, are you bringing Karen with you? And she said, well, of course. You see, they loved her more than they loved me. I mean, we all knew that. And so I said, are you bringing Karen? Sure, honey, of course we are. And so I cannot tell you the anticipation. I think those days were the longest days that I had to date. And but when the day came that they pulled up outside, I realized when she got out of that car, wow, do I love that girl. I love that girl. Man, when I saw her face, everything changed. You see, we had written letters to one another. Every day we wrote letters to one another. And I had all those letters. I kept them all and read them over and over and over again. I analyzed them. I thought, what she mean by this? You know, I looked up words, see if I could find synonyms that went along so that I could add to what she had to say. But when the doors of that Oldsmobile opened up and she stepped out of that car, I saw her face and oh, was my heart glad. There's nothing like seeing the face of someone you love. And folks, that's the way it's going to be for us when we get to this day. Oh, on this wonderful day, when it's all over, when the battle has been fought and when the victory has been won and when the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet are all cast into the lake of fire and when the books have been opened and the other book has been opened, the book of life, and when death and hell have been cast into the lake of fire, and when it's all done and we begin the first day of eternity in that holy city, the New Jerusalem, on that day, when we see his face, our hearts will feel a satisfaction that we have never experienced before. Oh, to see him face to face. Right now, today, in this world, when he is in heaven at the Father's right hand, and when we are here. It's just like when Karen and I were separated for that year. You see, the Lord has written us love letters. I hold them right here. And the Lord, watch me now, the Lord has given us many pictures of himself. They're right here in this book. When you read this book, you can say, oh, wow, look at that. That's just like Jesus. That looks just like Jesus. When you see Abraham offering Isaac, his son, his only son, you read that story in Genesis and you think, wow, that's just like God. And there's a beautiful picture of Jesus standing right there. And folks, it just continues. Every page is full of pictures. Every page, every story, every song, every prophetic statement, every command, and every law given in the law of Moses, all of them are beautiful pictures that we can see of Jesus. And this is why we need to read and love and study our Bibles. This is why, because we can see him every day through the pictures of him in the Bible. And not only do we have the pictures, but we have his love letters. And boy, this is it right here. Thank the Lord for those love letters. Written to each and every one of us, as it were, with his own perfect, sinless blood. Remember that little song we used to sing in Sunday school? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. How do you know that? Well, the Bible tells me so. What a wonderful God we serve. And folks, there's coming a day when we're going to see him. And it will be glorious, because once we see him, we are not going to be able to help ourselves. We are going to serve him, unencumbered, nothing holding us back. May God bless this to our hearts. Let's pray.